this Trinity Sunday, I want to talk briefly about God as he's revealed to us in the opening lines of our creed. A few weeks ago, I was deleting emails from my computer, and there was an intriguing subject line that caught my attention. Is your God boring? Is your God boring? That's a very good question. You know, do we worship an awesome God or a boring God? I'm here to convey clearly that our God is an awesome God. At least that's what the first seven words of the creed say. I believe in God, the Father Almighty. Those two words, Father and Almighty, are clear reminders that if we spend any serious time thinking about God, we will see that we worship an awesome God. But when was the last time we spent any serious time thinking about God? Do we see these two attributes, Father and Almighty, as being in tension with each other, pulling in opposite directions? Or do we see Father and Almighty as mutually supportive? We can see evidence of tension in that first reading from Exodus. You know, God comes down in a cloud, and Moses cries out, the Lord," and bows down in worship, certainly creating a sense of awe and reverence. But then what does Moses say? A merciful and gracious God, slow to anger, rich in kindness. And then Moses asks God, do come along in our company, implying that this awesome God is interested in being with us. Is our God a God who can direct us about what we should do? Or do we tell him what we'll let him do? You know, you can be God in this part of my life, but you know, you need to stay away from that part. Well, here's a good measure of your image and understanding of God. If you wouldn't worship him or serve him, he's probably not God. Or as Bishop Barron likes to say, he says, if your description of God sounds a lot like your grandmother, it's probably not a full understanding of God. You know, for example, people have a natural affection and attraction to Psalm 23. You know, the Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want. And that's a great psalm, very comforting. However, by itself, it almost seems like it represents only part of the truth. Having God as Father without having an Almighty God. And our creed would suggest to us that that's an unbalanced view. Of course, we can be unbalanced in the other direction. When I say we profess an awesome God, an Almighty God, what comes to your mind? Are our minds drawn to the climactic scene from the end of the movie Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark? You know, where God destroys his enemies by melting them like wax and burning them up with fire? That is a God we can fear and worship. But is it a God we can love with all our heart, our mind, our soul, our strength? We worship an awesome God, but how can we better understand him? I think songwriter Rich Mullins captured it succinctly in one of the refrains of one of the more well-known modern Christian songs titled, appropriately enough, Awesome God. And the refrain goes like this. I can't sing it. You know, I'm not allowed to sing. So the refrain goes, our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. It's not just power that makes God awesome. He reigns with wisdom, power, and love. And so he doesn't just reign with wisdom. He's not just an intellectual God for the philosophers and the scientists. He doesn't just reign with power, a majestic avenging God who performs miracles and signs. He doesn't just reign with love, a compassionate heart like our grandmother. St. Augustine tried to describe both this aspect of the wonder of God as Almighty and the compassion of God as Father. In his Confessions, Augustine wrote, "Most high, most excellent, most powerful, most omnipotent, most beautiful and most strong, stable yet contained by none, unchangeable yet changing all things, always working yet ever at rest, gathering yet needing nothing, creating, nourishing, and developing, seeking and yet possessing all things. You love yet do not burn, are angry yet serene. You change your ways, leaving your plans unchanged. You recover what you find without ever having lost it." Is your God boring? St. Augustine's wasn't. And why was that? Because Augustine's God was Father and Almighty. As the Catechism says, you know, God is Father Almighty, whose fatherhood and power shed light on each other. Of course, Jesus understood this. All we have to do is look at the one prayer that Jesus gave us, the Our Father, and we'll see, because this prayer explains for us, in some degree, the first seven words of the Creed. The first half of the Lord's Prayer teaches us about God Almighty, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do you want to learn more about God Almighty? Spend some time reflecting on the lines of the first half of the Our Father. The second half of the Lord's Prayer teaches us about God as Father. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Again, so if we want to know about God as Father, reflect on these lines of his compassion, of his mercy. This is not a boring God we profess. But then it asks the question, then why is it that so many Christians are sleepwalking through their faith? Because God doesn't always act the way we think he should act. Look at the issue of evil and suffering. God can sometimes seem absent and incapable of stopping evil. But we don't see things the way God sees them. In the most mysterious way, God has revealed his almighty power in the voluntary humiliation, suffering, death, and resurrection of his Son, by which he conquered evil. Jesus defeated evil with the weapons of God, while Satan was expecting Jesus to attack with the weapons of men. Think about this. Jesus doesn't take vengeance after the resurrection, as we might expect in some Hollywood movie. Rather, he forgives and announces peace. Jesus understands that peace doesn't come from the suppression of our enemies, but by the change of their hearts. Jesus doesn't emerge from the tomb singing, "We are the champions." A God like that doesn't have time for you. No, Jesus rises and says, "Peace be with you. Touch my wounds. This is my body given up for you. Go and do likewise." Friends, we don't worship a boring God, but we do worship a challenging God. Resist the temptation to love of God, a God who is Father but not Almighty. Resist the temptation to worship a God who is Almighty but not Father. Are you on the right path to understanding God? Ask yourself this simple question. Are the treasures of my life found above or among earthly treasures? It's why Jesus had no value for the praise and acceptance of people, for the comforts and consolations of the world. His only treasure, his food, was to do the will of the Father. It's why St. Paul wrote, "I consider everything as a loss because of the supreme good of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord." Werner Heisenberg was a smart guy. He earned his PhD at age 22 and received the Nobel Prize for Physics at age 31. He's considered the father of quantum physics, which is the understanding of the physics of atomic and subatomic particles. And he wisely said, he said, "The first gulp of the natural sciences will turn you into an atheist, but at the bottom of the glass, God is waiting for you. Are you only sipping from the knowledge that God offers, or are you trying to drink more deeply? When was the last time you spent any serious time thinking about God? If your God is boring, that's your own doing. I challenge you to drink to the bottom of the glass and come to know the Father who is almighty. Because our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God."